Rotwooded Radio presents award-winning author John Neufeld with Side Effects.
There's a long piece in a recent issue of The New Yorker about Donald Trump's early years, climbing to celebrity status on The Apprentice. What struck us as we read was that DJT understood quickly how fanatically right Marlene Dietrich was as she built her career. It was all about lighting and camera angles. As His Imperial Majesty grew in confidence, he began instructing the crews at NBC on the best and most impressive camera angle, always from below, making him appear taller and more imposing on the screen. And with direct lighting, straight on, a bit from above, as Dietrich herself had insisted. Apparently, for his Oval Office address last Tuesday, no one remembered these conditions, nor DJT's preferences. Thus, we were presented head-on with a shrunken, puny, pale, nervous man of uncertain age sitting in a chair that was much too big for him in a room that threatened at any time to collapse and give us our first shots of a televised instant burial. That the man in question had nothing new to say was not remarkable. What was his evident belief in his own humanity. He related incidents difficult to many to accept as true, how many war widows he had comforted, around how many shoulders of war veterans he had slipped his arms, how he had listened and empathized and sympathized with the trials and troubles of people who were grieving, shattered, and especially victims of immigrant violence. Sidebar. These imaginary scenes of a president leading a nation in mourning and understanding seemed to enrapture the speaker. For the rest of us, having watched, listened, and learned about his self-absorption, self-regard, cruelty, ignorance, total lack of empathy and understanding of common emotions, the phrase, "our thoughts and prayers go out to," has become a punchline rather than a sincerely expressed moment of reflection. Worse, having just shut down the government of the USA in aid of forcing the construction of a barrier wall at our southern border, and having, once again, talked before he thought, taking complete and utter responsibility for the breakdown of government services, his sympathy was magically turned into a bludgeon to be used on all those survivors of the wild, rampant, often imaginary, unjust, and frightening violence he cataloged. In effect, he was oblivious of the damage done to the millions of Americans who depend on the government to help keep them afloat in these parlous times. And we're not talking about charity here. We're talking about men and women whose service to our country is genuine, long, backbreaking, and dependable. Screw them. This man drives people crazy. Last week, when it appeared for a flashing second that sanity stood some chance of being restored to government with the election of Democrats to the House of Representatives, which in theory restored the balance and checks of our political system, Dear Leader waited fewer than 24 hours to pull the rug out once again and began to threaten to declare a national emergency. Many imagined they could see this as a ploy to begin to move towards martial law, using U.S. troops to fulfill dear ones' wishes, and leading us ever closer to having to live in a nation led by an autocrat. From national emergency to martial law to postponing an election, that of 2020, because of the riotous, dangerous, unstable civilian state that had blossomed in the intervening months, to granting DJT executive power for his lifetime. That's how Vlad did it, and Maduro, and Duterte, and Xi, and others whose names we cannot spell properly in haste. Our international standing has, under this president and his staff, dropped to such low levels that people like Turkish Erdogan can ignore us entirely without penalty. For a deal maker's dream, the Donald doesn't deal. He flat out gives away favors and presents before hardly being asked. Other U.S. presidents have negotiated for national security agreements that maintain a balance of power and which are rapidly slipping away from us. Now he is advocating raiding the purses of various key governmental departments that, how this happened no one knows, have maintained surpluses from which he can purloin monies for his wall. Since he apparently believes that all money in the government is his to move, shift, beg, borrow, or steal from, and since we're all in this together, to denude the nation of emergency funds, social net webbing, medical and research pockets doesn't give him a twinge, any more than the thousands whose credit is about to be ravaged by the same banks the public saved 10 years ago, or the millions of parents, workers, educators, suppliers, manufacturers who have stood patiently on the sidelines while seeing the clouds darken above them for the past weeks, threatening a deluge. This all may sound alarmist. We hope it is. DJT is ruining our national image, our national pride, our ability to be what the world has known is good and moral and life-saving since its beginning. He is impoverishing the country. He has to go. I'm John Neufeld.
All opinions on side effects are those of John Neufeld and do not represent necessarily the opinions of Robinhood Radio, robinhoodradio.com, CATV6, or any of the employees, volunteers, or underwriters of Tri-State Public Communications.